Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another Tech Doctor podcast. And Allison, we are recording in the afternoon for the second time in a row. So I'm just expecting that you are completely wide awake and ready to go. Is that true?
Well, I'm full of about half a pot of coffee and just sat in the beautiful sunshine on a lovely California afternoon. So I'm about as awake as I can be on a three-day weekend.
Oh, three-day weekend. That's nice.
Beautiful, lovely three-day weekend.
Excellent. Well, good for you. I'm glad you're able to podcast this afternoon. I'm looking forward to this one because we're going to talk all about the very interesting and exciting new Rogue Amoeba product, Audio Hijack 3. And to do that, we are so very fortunate to have with us one of the developers from Rogue Amoeba who has done an awful lot of the work on Audio Hijack 3, especially as it relates to, and in our podcast, the way it works with VoiceOver. So it's very nice to welcome Grant Farr to the podcast. Grant, welcome. Please take a moment and tell us a little bit about who you are.
Thank you, Robert. As you said, I'm one of the developers at Rogue Amoeba. My job for the last couple of years really has been to work on Audio Hijack before the rest of you have seen it. I guess you could say I'm mostly responsible for the user interface side of Audio Hijack. Definitely all of the voiceover support that's in it is from me. And the other guys in Rogue Amoeba are responsible for different products, or in some cases, the audio code which is underneath Audio Hijack 3 is shared between our products and is not all written by me. That's definitely, core code to Rogue Amoeba. I'm from Melbourne, Australia, so it's the morning for me. I've had my two coffees already, so I'm fine. I'm the only team member from Rogue Amoeba who works in Australia. The rest of the team is either in the US or one of the founders is from Russia. So it's a remote company, though. Everyone works from home. There is no office.
Just out of curiosity, you know, what is it like for you working from home in Australia with, you said, one person in Russia, which is a pretty international company, I guess, but I know a lot of Rogue Amoeba folks are in the US.
Yeah, the majority are in the US. Alex is from Russia, and he's one of the guys that was around when they started the company. He works with us a little bit these days, not a great deal. Working remotely with Rogue Amoeba is great. I haven't seen any problems with it because everyone is remote. Most of us don't work. We aren't strictly working a 9-to-5 workday in whatever our time zone is. There's plenty of overlap. It's never usually an issue at all.
Well, one of the great things about Rogue Amoeba is that for many years, it's been a company that has really specialized in audio products for the Mac. And many people who would listen to this podcast obviously are very interested in audio. But one of the real staples for a lot of us who use our Macs to record podcasts and really to record almost anything that's coming in through the Mac has been the software which used to be called Audio Hijack Pro. And I assume most people are fairly familiar with Audio Hijack Pro, but maybe could you just talk a little bit about what Audio Hijack is and maybe how it's evolved with the new version, if that's not too big of a mouthful to bite off?
Yeah, sure, I can try. I'm not sure my description of it will exactly match the way it's marketed, but I see Audio Hijack as a bit of a Swiss Army knife of audio. So Audio Hijack Pro, the old product, its core strength is that it can capture audio directly from applications on your Mac. So it will capture audio directly from, in our case today, from Skype or from a web browser or from iTunes, and allow you to separate that out from other applications on the Mac. And it can also capture audio from microphones, etc., send those to a recording, like to a file, send them to other output devices, and also it could, in the old product, send it through audio effects, so you could apply effects to the audio before the recording or before the output device. In the new product, Audio Hijack 3, they really took that element of it, the effects grid in the old product, and made that the core of the product. So rather than every session having an input, either an application or an input device, and every session having, you know, the recording and an output device available if you want it, now those things are items that you put into the audio grid. So you can add application blocks directly into an audio grid, and you can add output devices or input devices directly into an audio grid and hook them up as you see fit, rather than them being organized by the application for you, with you only inserting a few effects in the middle.
Yes, and one of the things that was so great about Audio Hijack Pro was that, for the most part, it was accessible to a blind user or to someone using VoiceOver. But the one area that was never really accessible was the effects area, unfortunately. And so that has completely changed. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. But that's one of the things that's changed with Audio Hijack 3. I think I'm understanding that correctly.
Yeah, definitely. In Audio Hijack Pro, the old product, the effects grid wasn't accessible. It would have been an interesting challenge to make it accessible, and that wasn't done. And it wasn't essential to the product, so that was okay. Relatively okay. In the new product, as far as I can think of, everything is accessible. There's nothing which is exceptional in that way. And the audio grid being at the core of the product is something that had to be accessible from, you know, the first moment we did it. So we put a bit of effort into getting that right, and it seems like people are happy, which I'm very, very happy with myself, because I did the work and tried to make it work that way.
So let's talk a little bit about the audio grid, and I'm interested also, Allison, if you have used it enough to have any thoughts or comments. But before we kind of delve into that side of it, Audio Hijack 3 is a very different interface from Audio Hijack Pro, and I understand, Grant, that it's really a very visual interface, in that you're actually looking on the screen at an audio grid. But you have actually gone to the extraordinary lengths to make this audio grid fully accessible to the VoiceOver user, including parts of the interface that aren't necessarily accessible with the keyboard if you're not running VoiceOver. So, I don't know, could you maybe talk a little bit about Audio Hijack 3's interface, how it's different, maybe a little bit about the audio grid and what it's like to have tried to make it accessible with VoiceOver?
I'll try and avoid getting too technical when I do that, because as a developer, I can start talking like a developer. Please stop me if I do that. One other thing I will add before we dig into it as well, there's a bunch of information which was written for the original preview testers, VoiceOver preview testers, that we used, including yourself, which was fantastic. Thank you for that. And that document has some great information in it, and we're hoping to polish that up and put it up in Knowledge Base article on our website before long. And I think that'll be very useful to a VoiceOver user, to have an overall description of how the product is organized, so that they know where to start, and a few tips and tricks which will help.
Having worked on the beta, it was a bit of a surprise, honestly, to get Audio Hijack 3 for the first time and to see that it was so different. But then that document made it clear to me that it was equally, if not more, actually more accessible than Audio Hijack Pro, as we just talked about, but in a very different way, actually. Maybe you can pick it up from there.
Yeah, it's a very different product. If there was something you're familiar with in the old product, it's probably not there in the same way in the new one. The features are there, but they're all in a different place. In terms of using Audio Hijack 3, the home window provides access to all of your content within the application. So there's three tabs in the home window. And the first one of those is the sessions tab. And you have all of the sessions that you've made for yourself, where a session contains an audio grid. So each time I think it's VO press on a session in that tab, you'll open up a new session window. The session window has in it an audio grid, And also a library of audio blocks. The library of audio blocks is one of the items which normal users can't use keystrokes to navigate at all. It's not navigable by keys unless VoiceOver is on, in which case you can use VoiceOver navigation to go into the library, go into the sections within the library, such as the sources section or the outputs or the effects, and select one of the items in the library, and each one has a description saying what it does and its name, obviously. And if you VO press on one of those, it'll copy it, copy the block. Then you can navigate back to the audio grid and paste the block into the audio grid and move it around using more keystrokes. And each block in the grid will be saying its X and Y location. The X and Y location start from like left for 1X, and as the numbers increase, they go to the right, and 1Y is the top row, and as the numbers increase, they go down. And each block will have an X and a Y location and in that grid to sort of help you understand how they're laid out.
Yes, it does help to really think in your head about an XY axis like that. I've had some statistical training over the years, and that helps me visualize it, but I was trying to think of good ways maybe people could visualize how that grid works. I was thinking about maybe seats in an auditorium, or trying to think of any thoughts about how people can maybe make that layout a bit more concrete for themselves, or a bit more related to something maybe they would already know about.
I kind of imagined it on Braille graph paper when I first was taking a look at the voice chat template, and it kind of helped a little bit. I wish I had a better way of articulating, because I'm still so new at it. I just kind of tried to think of the blocks on graph paper with kind of Braille labels almost in the middle, and maybe like a, whenever we used to do graphing in school, I always used to do wiki sticks on the axis and plotting the points. I tried to think of it as geometrically as I could.
Yeah, graph paper is a really good start. And maybe, you know, if people feel a need for it, maybe we can even look into working with someone to develop some sort of template or model of what that graph would look like in a raised line drawing on graph paper. So we'll have to see how people respond to it. But I know I've kind of gotten it figured out mostly by working with it. And what I discovered really helped me was to open up a new template with nothing in it and just add one block to the template, and then use the arrow keys along with the command key and the option key to move that one block around and to see how it actually moved depending on the keystroke that you used. And that helped me actually begin to understand it or make some sense out of it. But one of the things that makes it a little bit more complicated, Grant, is that you can move either by in one block widths, I guess you could say, maybe you can correct me if I'm not explaining this right, one block widths with the command and arrow keys, but you can move looks like, you know, in a smaller percentage of a block width using the option and arrow keys. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. So 1x and then 2x, they're one unit apart horizontally. And if you put a block at you know, next to each other, that's as close as they can get. Each block takes up one unit of space. But the thing which is catching a little bit for VoiceOver users is that the grid allows you to position blocks on quarter block units. So they can't be too close together because then they'll overlap. But you can actually put them not just one block apart, so they're next to each other, but also 1.25 blocks apart, so then there's a small gap between them and things like that. So each block takes one unit of space, but the grid allows blocks to be positioned on quarter block units. And in the VoiceOver system, you're hearing the 0.25 or the 0.5 or the 0.75 numbers all the time. My suggestion there is that, and I've experimented with this a little bit. I actually made it so that when I changed it so that that it blocks would only sit on full units, and that's interesting, and it might almost be beneficial to voiceover users, but then that's a separate mode from a normal user, because the quarter block increments work really well for normal users who don't ever see or hear the actual grid coordinates. They just lay things out in a more organic fashion, and don't know that all their blocks are on quarter units or something, which is, you know, tedious to listen to when you're using voiceover. My suggestion is that you just put the blocks on whole units, kind of ignore the quarter increment units unless you absolutely need them, and that way all of the units sound much more simple. 1x1y sounds a lot more simple than 1.25x1.25y, so
yes,
you can avoid them.
Yes, exactly. But if you use some of the pre-configured templates...
Yes, the pre-configured templates at the moment, and I'm aware of this, they all tend to have fractional coordinates in them, because the templates were made, honestly, 6 months ago, and we didn't think about that. It's only something that's become clear more recently that they aren't ideal for voiceover users, in that we haven't placed the blocks on whole units, and it's one of the things on my list to look at, so that we can go and revise all of the templates and make them more attractive, I guess, to voiceover users straight off.
So am I understanding that the quarter units offer no advantage as far as connectivity goes? The only advantage is how it makes it all look on the grid, or am I misunderstanding that?
No, you're actually mostly correct. There's a very few, very rare circumstances where having access probably more to the 0.5 grid unit is actually necessary to make a connection work. But you're talking about extreme cases where you have five blocks arranged one above the other, and you're trying to get a connection from all five of those to one block on their right. And you need to use the, you know, is it four blocks or five blocks? There's a case there once where I worked out you actually do need the fractional coordinate. If you don't have the fractional coordinate, you can organize the blocks in a different way to achieve the same end, but we can't take away the fractional coordinates for everyone, because they're nice to organize things halfway between other things. It works well for the graph. For a voiceover user, it has less benefit, put it that way.
Yes, but I think just the fact that we're talking about it, and I told Allison that before we did this, we were going to get very geeky with Audio Hijack 3, because I think it's really necessary for voiceover users to understand this grid at this level of detail to really be able to make maximum use of it. So I very much appreciate your willingness to go there, because if you're not careful, you will find it very confusing if you're a voiceover user. And you're right, the point increments do make it a little more to listen to, but it's very doable, actually. And I've been moving lots of blocks around lately, experimenting, trying to make something work. And it does become doable and understandable. I'm not too worried about the point increments being in there. I was a little, it made working with the pre-existing templates just a bit more complicated for me, though. I will say that.
Yeah, I think they could be done away with in the templates. We literally didn't know they were there when we did them. So there is one thing I'd like to point out too. Whilst we're talking about all these blocks and connections and it sounds complicated, you can duplicate most of the functionality of Audio Hijack Pro, the previous product, with only three blocks in the grid. And putting three blocks in the grid, a source, a recorder, and an output device, all on the same line as each other, next to each other, left to right, is not a hard thing to do. So, and in fact, most of the templates are just three blocks in a fashion like that. So,
yes, and that's very easy to do with VoiceOver, actually.
Yep.
So we've probably spent a lot of time on maybe some edge cases, which most people won't actually end up dealing with. But what kind of experience have you had, Allison? You know, I know you've only had a chance to work with it a little bit, but I know you did You said get rid of your old templates that you can import into Audio Hijack 3 from Audio Hijack Pro, but you got rid of them and went ahead and started from scratch. And so I guess you've had a little experience now. What's it been like for you so far?
It's been a really good experience so far. Admittedly, like you said, I've not really gotten the chance to play with it much, but I decided that I was just going to really, in order to wrap my head around how this all works with the new grid system and everything, it was going to make more sense for me to just start from scratch, load in some of the template sessions, see about making some changes, some customizations that I like. And that's been pretty good for me so far. I want to get as adventurous as you, Robert, where I'm moving blocks around and really kind of starting from scratch with a blank session, seeing how I can put something together and making it work. And the nice thing about this, guys, is that even if you do screw something up, because that's the whole reason I deleted my sessions in the first place, is because I screwed up my Skype template royally at first, is that even if it all blows up in your face, you could just start over. It's not, you really literally can't break anything. So play, be adventurous, and see what you can do, because eventually you will get the hang of it, and it actually begins to make a lot more sense once you just sit down with it and work with it.
Dovetailing on what you said there, if you do start with a pre-existing template, you're not actually modifying the pre-existing default. You're modifying a copy of it. So if you need to delete what you've modified, as you said, and go back and re-get the pre-existing template, you can do that no problem. Also, if you haven't noticed, there is a duplicate command in the edit menu, which is a shortcut command D, which will let you duplicate a template. And so once you duplicate it, then you can work with the duplicate and make some changes. And also you can interact with the name of a template. You may have to click the mouse on it to make this work, but once I click the mouse on this once, it's been working ever since for me. You can then edit the name of the template, and you can change it to fit whatever customization you've made to work for you. So there's a lot of flexibility in working with either the pre-existing template or in simply starting with a new blank template and building something from scratch. And it's completely accessible with VoiceOver. You can tell exactly what you're doing, exactly where a block's going to go. And the one gotcha sometimes with that, if you have a bunch of blocks, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, Grant, and you said it's true, it's something of an issue for sighted users as well. But there is the reality that if you move too many blocks around, that will cause other blocks possibly to the right of that block to get inadvertently moved. And then you may have to either bring them back to where you wanted them if they're not where you wanted them, which you can do one by one, or you and I came up with, actually you came up with and I made use of it, a workaround that may be useful for people who are blind. If you definitely know that you want to paste a block in a particular spot without having the other blocks move, there is a way to do that. Do you mind talking a little bit about some of that?
You can duplicate sessions in the sessions tab in the home window. So you can start with another copy and not be worried about destroying one you've already built that works. You can rename sessions in that sessions tab as well. I would have to go and test exactly how to do it. I would have thought that once a session was selected, you could VO press on it to get to edit the title.
I found interacting with it would give you an edit feel.
Yeah, to give you some idea of what that's actually trying to do, it unless that item is selected, you can't edit the name as a normal user. So it's the sort of thing where you can double click on the name and it won't edit. It'll open the thing instead. That's the trick going on there. But I think for you guys it works fine. When you're moving blocks around, if a normal user were to drag a block across all of the other blocks in the grid, they all jump out of the way. Blocks aren't allowed to overlap, so everything will move. And as the drag continues, things will go back into position if they can. VoiceOver users can actually achieve the same effect. If you move a block and you don't change the selection. So you leave the selection on just that block and you keep moving that block. As you move it across the graph, it will bump things out of the way to the right because blocks aren't allowed to overlap. But as it goes far enough, blocks that can will jump over it back to where they started. So as the position of the block no longer interferes, the block you're moving no longer interferes with another one, that other one will go back to its original position until you change the selection. If you change which block is selected, then the new positions are committed and they'll no longer jump back. I hope that makes sense. But probably the most important thing of all is if you do move blocks around, you can use undo to get them back again. You can edit a graph, an audio grid full of blocks. We call them a graph internally sometimes, so that's my mistake there. You can edit the audio grid, move blocks around, and if you don't like the result, you can hit undo, and go back to where they were. You can undo all the way back to the beginning of a session if you wish.
Right, and that undo is Command Z.
When you turn a session on, Command R to start and stop a session. And I think for voiceover users, if you do start capturing system audio or the com.speech.apple to actually capture the voiceover voice, you might want to remember Command R in case you can't hear the voice anymore because you're going to lose the navigation. So.
Yes, if your grid isn't quite set up correctly, as I've found out many, many times, and you're trying to capture voiceover, you do lose voiceover for a moment, but that Command R stops the recording of the session and you have your voiceover back, which is a nice improvement, honestly, over Audio Hijack Pro, where you had to first hijack and then record. Now it's all done with one keystroke, which is actually nicer. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, was that when blocks do jump back to their original positions, that is something that VoiceOver does announce.
It was a suggestion from a VoiceOver user that to try and indicate that blocks and connections had changed. When you move a block to give some summary of all of the effect it had on other blocks and connections. And so it was a suggestion that got added in. But yeah, it's very valuable to have feedback.
One of the things that we really haven't covered yet is that you can actually customize the way that these various blocks operate by interacting with a particular block, and then you usually get a popover or a pop-up menu or some other indicator that there are some controls there that you can work with VoiceOver to, say, change your recording parameters if it's a recording block, or to change some other aspects of the way the block functions. And that is all fully accessible with VoiceOver, and you just press Escape to get out of those popovers. So, I mean, this really works well, and it just takes a little time, a little experience, a little practice with it, but it's all there. That's what's exciting about it.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't mentioned popovers, and they're great for everyone. Some blocks have popovers, some blocks don't have popovers. An example of one that does have a popover is the recording block. It has more settings than any other block. And as a VoiceOver user, you've probably found there's sections, and then there's advanced sections within the sections, which show yet more settings. So VoiceOver Interact, to go down inside sessions, will let you visit groups of controls which are related. And a block which has no popover, for example, is the balance block. It's a very simple block. And it has one control. That slider is on the face of the block itself. So you interact with the block, and you get to visit the control on its face.
And if there is a slider, the sliders are also accessible via the keyboard, and you can move the sliders with the VoiceOver keys, or maybe just with the arrow keys.
Yeah, VoiceOver keys and just arrow keys by themselves work. And there's also, don't quote me exactly on this, shift and the arrow keys, I think, will skip by a larger amount.
Okay.
Or is it a smaller amount? One of the two.
Yeah, I haven't tried the shift, but I've definitely tried the volume block where you can add more volume. I was trying to add that in FaceTime, and the sliders actually worked very well with the keyboard. So I was able to add as much volume as as the system would allow for. I know there's an issue there with FaceTime and audio ducking, but you can compensate for that somewhat by using this volume block, which is probably beyond what most people are wanting to do at this point. But nonetheless, I can't think of anything that I've found in Audio Hijack 3 that isn't voiceover accessible. So, I mean, I think really you deserve huge kudos for what you've done with that, taken what's a very visual interface and made it completely accessible. It's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. You can type a number when you're on a slider as well. It was another suggestion from a voiceover user. So if you, for example, if you're in the 10-band equalizer and you wanted to type a value for a slider in dB, you can type 3 dB. You don't type the dB. You just type 3, you hit return. It's the return that actually makes the effect. So you don't have to race to do the typing. You can start typing a number and then hit return and the slider will slide to that value.
Okay,
and I that some sliders don't have the exact range that you expect on them at the moment. That'll get fixed in the future.
I wasn't aware that you could type a number in a slider. That's good information to have. And also, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, another nice voiceover feature with sliders is if you press VO space on a slider, I believe it will return back to its default value.
Yes, that's all sliders have their default value. For example, you know, the 0 point on the 10-band equalizer sliders. So a double click or a VO press will go to the default value for the slider.
And that's really nice. If you've been playing with one and you're not quite sure exactly where the default was, you can always get back to that point.
Yep. Also, undo and redo will work on the sliders as well.
Okay. Sounds like the undo is a good command to remember, because that's one of the things I love most about Audio Hijack 3 is it's just begging you to play with it and try things and experiment. And it's very easy, as we've said in other places, to get back to where you need to be. So I just encourage everyone to give it a try and not be afraid of it.
I'm really genuinely glad that voiceover users seem to be getting along with it. Sorry, that's great.
I realize this is a major piece of software, and there's probably, we could go on for hours, but do you all feel that we've covered the basics or covered the things that mostly need to be covered?
We haven't really mentioned that there's a list of all of the recordings you've made are available in the recordings tab in the home window. And there's a schedule tab as well for setting up timers to record things at different times. I guess the knowledge base article, we really need to get that sorted out and, you know, available, because there's too many little bits of information which would be hard to find without just being told them. Another example of that is that you can visit blocks in the audio grid by typing the numerals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So you can visit the first 9 blocks directly without having to navigate any other way, just with those keystrokes.
Yes, and that is really nice, because what happens with that also, when you visit one using the number keys like that, it also selects that block.
Yes, it does. Yep.
So it's a good way to know that a particular block is indeed selected, although if you interact with a block and then uninteract, that block will also be selected. So, but the numbers are convenient. I use them sometimes to jump around. And yes, it is a good idea that we mention that Audio Hijack 3 is not just for hijacking stuff, but as you said, it's for recording and scheduling things that you may, if you have a favorite radio show that you want to record, you can schedule that and then have that show record in the background even if you want. And actually, I guess maybe you could always do this, but it's easy with Audio Hijack 3 to record something in the background, not have it going to an output other than the recorder, and you don't have to stop using your computer while it's making a recording for you. So I think that's a really nice feature.
Yeah, it's quite true. You can have sessions which have recorders and no output devices, and you can have sessions equally which have output devices and no recorders. So you're not required to record something with Audio Hijack either. And you can also switch all of the blocks in a grid on and off. So if you have an effect block and you switch it off, it will simply pass the audio through unmolested. If you have a recorder block and you switch the block off, you've effectively stopped it from recording. So that means you can have a session with a recorder in it, but you can still run the session turn the recorder off and not make a recording while you mess around.
Yes, I've noticed that if you press VO Shift M on a block to bring up the context menu, that's where you can actually switch the block off or even delete the block from that session, from that grid if you want to.
Yes, that's one way of doing it. If the block has a popover, you can also, there's an on-off switch in the popover. So
okay.
That's an alternative way of doing it, which doesn't work on blocks which have no popover. So if you wanted to switch the balance block off, you'd need to use the context menu, as you said.
I believe there is an upgrade path of sorts for anyone who wants to upgrade from Audio Hijack Pro. Do you know anything about that that we can tell people about?
Yeah, certainly. My understanding of the upgrade policy at the moment is that anyone who has any previous product, who has paid for any previous product with Audio Hijack in the name, so that goes back to all the way to 2003, I think, with the initial product. Again, don't quote me on the exact details. Can get the upgrade pricing to Audio Hijack 3.
It's $25 upgrade, about $49 if you need to buy it new. So it's really, really a bargain. It's very reasonably priced. And I think almost anyone can decide not to have a pizza and get a copy of Audio Hijack 3, right?
Yes.
Yep, certainly. And okay. Of course, you can download the trial version of it. It'll let you record and play with things for a little while before it starts overlaying noise on your recordings. So it's usable.
Yeah, you can play with it long enough to see if it's going to do what you need it to do and at least become familiar mm-hmm. with the audio grid and things like that. I'll put a link to the trial version in the show notes so that people can go and download it and give it a try. And Grant, we really appreciate you taking your time on this Monday morning for you to come on the Tech Doctor podcast and talk with us all about Audio Hijack 3. And the reason I wanted to do it is because I'm so excited about this application. So thank you very much for spending this time with us. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. This is the first podcast I've done, and thank you for making me feel at ease about
it. You've done a fantastic job. I would have never known it was your first podcast. You did great.
Yeah. I usually try and hide from the limelight.
I understand, but that's why we have developers who would prefer to do the real work as opposed to just be like us and talk about it. So excellent. Well, Allison, if you don't mind, maybe you could tell these Tech Doctor listeners how they can get in touch with us.
Absolutely. If you'd like to get a hold of us, please do so by sending an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We would. And if you have comments about Audio Hijack, we'd love to hear them. It is a fabulous step forward as far as accessibility to another mainstream product goes. And we have Grant and the folks at Rogue Amoeba to thank for that. And it's been a lot of fun to play with, and I encourage you all to go out and get one. Until next time, this is Robert the Tech Doctor. I will say so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley saying bye, everyone.